Text the keyword cash to 200-200.
You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info.
Standard data and message rates apply.
That's cash to 200-200.
710 WOR.
This is
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
And a very good Monday morning to you. It's going to be a cloudy day today. Some thunderstorms are possible. In fact, it's going to be gray all week, but we're going to endeavor to give you a few laughs on the way to work today. At least I will. I don't know about Len, but I'm here.
Well, I'm still depressed from yesterday. It's Mother's Day. It was rainy and gloppy. What kind of a deal was that for Mother Nature not to take care of moms? Come on.
Tomorrow they're talking about hail. It's going to be hail. Yes,
hail. Hail of a day, huh?
It's storms are going to contain large hail and damaging winds and locusts and frogs and all sorts of plagues. What's going on around?
You're right. Every day, the whole week has some periods of rain or mostly cloud. Come on, what's going on here?
They're supposed to be April showers. Where are the May flowers? I haven't seen the May flowers yet.
In June. We'll get nice weather in June. I'm telling you, this is awful.
I know, terrible. But it is a historic day.
It is.
It's a historic day.
It is.
President Trump once again makes good on a campaign promise, Len, to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, something that many presidents before him promised to do and never did. It also is the 70th birthday of the founding of Israel. Israel, our staunchest ally in the Middle East.
I feel like a little music to get you going. But since you said it's the 70th anniversary of the State of Israel.
Stand up, Len. Stand up.
Is this it? I don't know what that is.
Oh, is that the theme from Exodus?
I have no idea what that is.
You were going to play the Israeli national anthem for me.
I was, but what's listed is the Israeli national anthem. I have no idea what that is.
It sounds like a John Williams song from a Star Wars movie.
It seemed
or something
like a good idea.
I don't know.
Riedel said, let's play the Israeli national anthem. I said, good idea. Let's play Hatikva.
I can't believe you botched the Israeli national anthem.
You're blaming me for this?
Yes. Okay. Come on. This is a historic day.
It is.
Now,
well, if we can ever find Hatikva, maybe we'll play it.
At least get something from Fiddler on the Roof, all right? Please, come on. Or the theme from Exodus. Dun, 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 dun,
how about this? Benjamin Netanyahu.
Thank you, President Trump, for your bold decision. Thank you for making the alliance between Israel and the United States stronger than ever.
Big score, big win for Benjamin Netanyahu, who's been pushing this for a long, long time. Well, now, I'm in favor of it. I happen to think that Jerusalem has been the capital of Israel for 3,000 years, so decreed by King David, and it's about time the United States recognizes that. Despite what the Palestinians are saying, there's a tension in the Gaza Strip. Naturally, when is there not tension in the Gaza Strip? If the Palestinians would behave themselves and agree to live peacefully with Israel, they could have a little bit of Jerusalem as their capital, too, but that's something they apparently are not interested in doing.
Well, this is obviously controversial. The Palestinians don't care for it. The Arab states don't care for it. A lot of countries in the world don't care for it, you know, primarily because they don't want to rock the boat. But the Israelis have said if we come to some kind of a peace agreement, I'm not sure that East Jerusalem may very well factor into the Palestinian state if there
one
ever
day
is a Palestinian state. So, you know, you got to get this thing negotiated.
Israel has bent over backwards to make peace with the Palestinians all these years, and the Palestinians never seem to be willing to meet them at the table. They say they are, and then the last minute they pull back and they have their intifadas and whatnot. So Israel should just ignore them, go on with what Israel wants, because Israel is the strongest country in the Middle East, and you don't mess with Israel.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of protests there are today. We're going to be going live to Israel later this morning. In fact, after the 7 o'clock news, we'll go live to Jordana Miller, ABC News in Jerusalem, anxious to hear what kind of protests or whatever are going on.
But if you care about Israel, and I am a staunch supporter of Israel, it really is a very moving day for the Israeli people all these years to finally have the capital declared Jerusalem.
Yeah, well, they've declared. It's just that the Americans are jumping in line. So
good. It's about time. And the Europeans, forget about the Europeans. They're not going to do anything because most of them are anti-Semitic.
Really?
Yes, the French, please, the British. Jeremy Corbyn, the labor leader over there, he's got a whole bunch of anti-Semites in his labor party. Well,
that's unusual for people to be anti-Semitic over there. When's the last time that happened?
That's right. Also in our big three, hey, the White House is still refusing to apologize for those nasty comments some people were making about John McCain. What does he matter? He's going to die anyway, a White House aide said. But your pal, Sarah Sanders Huckabee, she's not backing down on this. She says, I'm not talking about it. It was a leak. We're not going to deal with this because that was a leak.
Well, that's the thing that gets me. You know, rather than addressing the problem, they're more concerned with the leak.
Yeah, well.
What they had, she had a meeting about there shouldn't be any leaks, and five different people leaked the story. Boy, she rules with an iron fist at that White House.
Boy, this, the easiest job in the world is to be a member of the White House press corps because you don't really have to scrounge around for news. As soon as a meeting happens, people come running out the door to tell CNN or MSNBC what happened.
How would you feel, Len, if I went out and told everybody what you said about Michael the other day?
Oh, stop it. What did you say?
He's starting trouble.
What did you say?
No.
I said, where's my book?
Oh, right.
Reno was supposed to bring me his Razzle Dazzle book. Yeah, and Friday said, I promise it's coming in Monday. Joe, where's the book?
I forgot. And now you're wondering
why I talk about him behind his back.
By the time you bring in your book, I'll have written a book, published it, and brought it in.
All right. I'm issuing an apology, unlike the White House, to you, Len. I'm sorry I've not brought in my book. I swear.
Don't do that, Michael.
I don't believe you've written the book.
Well, I'm an atheist, so I swear on a stack of Bibles that I will bring in the book tomorrow.
Truthfully, I have no interest in reading your book.
But what I want to know is, did he really say something behind my back?
I'll tell you later.
You know why he's stirring trouble?
What did he say?
Because we gave him a hard time on Friday for phoning in the newscast.
He was so anxious to go.
We even got emails from listeners saying, you really have to step up your game, Joe. And really, he was just more interested in playing because he had gotten a 79 the day before, and he couldn't wait to hit the links Friday.
Oh, he checked out by 6:30. Oh, he was out the door.
100% every
single. There was
single...
that huge ISIS story that captured all those ISIS leaders.
Yeah, no mention. And I asked him what time the some big story happened. He said, I don't know. You know, it's like, he did. It's like,
well, I want to know the time stamp on every story.
why he's fighting back.
I know, but I'm telling you, you better leak to me what Len said.
I'll take care of it.
Ooh, this could be good.
I might put it in a post. Then you'll have to apologize.
Joe,
you're defending Sarah Huckabee Sanders. You think the leaking is a bigger story than
the
apology?
The White House has got to apologize for what they said about John McCain.
The thing is, what was said was really crude.
Terrible.
But you know what? You know, you guys have all probably made crude remarks in a closed meeting.
Never.
And if it gets out, you apologize.
Right. Say, I'm sorry. And or you could offer one of those half-hearted, if I offended anyone, I apologize. You know, one of those dopey apologies.
But President Trump didn't offend anybody. Why should he have to apologize?
He doesn't have to apologize. We're not asking him to apologize.
Lindsey
Graham saying, as the head of the White House, he should. But you know what? Somebody should apologize. You know, people just get so defensive. Say I'm sorry and get on with it.
I thought the person who made that comment,
Meghan McCain, yes.
And apologize.
Yeah, she was supposed to. I don't know if she did.
The White House should apologize.
Kelly Sadler,
yes, because McCain is against Gina Haspel's CIA nominee. Her confirmation,
and
this woman said doesn't matter, he's going to die
anyway. I think it was probably said in the context of how many votes do we have, and somebody said, well, McCain is against it, and so, she probably said, well, he's going to die anyway.
Still rude.
All right,
rude. The White House should apologize for it. Even daffy old socialist Bernie Sanders thinks the White House should apologize. So
there you go.
Rounding out the big three, Eli Manning is going to trial, apparently accused of selling fake memorabilia.
Say it ain't so, Eli.
Game used helmets.
Everyone loves Eli.
I think he's going to be fine. He doesn't need $35,000. He doesn't need to scam somebody. And I think the email is nebulous enough that it cannot get a conviction. The email he sent to the equipment guy is, give me something that will pass as game worn.
Right.
Now, does that mean he wanted something that wasn't game worn to pass or something that will pass as game worn?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Parsing the email. Well, it all comes down to the email.
Yeah.
But others would be John Mara, the owner, and Brandon Steiner, the collectibles. A bunch of people are on the defensive here. But, you know, the memorabilia business is a cesspool.
It is.
People just pass off stuff that isn't real, and there's a lot of stuff that's fake out there. So this brings to light the whole underbelly of this memorabilia business. So
who owns all this stuff, though? If you're a former player, can you get your hands on used stuff and sell it on the sly?
All
Is that appropriate?
I don't know. It all depends. There's all kinds of stuff that goes, hey, the Mets equipment manager was fired for selling stuff several years ago, Charlie Samuels.
I mean, I can understand if you want to sell your own jersey. You own your jersey, right, that you wore?
Technically, I don't know if you own it or not. The team probably owns it technically, but I don't think a team would stop a player from profiting on his own jersey, but who knows?
I suppose some of these players, they get in trouble down the line with bad financial investments or gambling problems or something they want to capitalize on.
It was $35,000 for a guy's making, what, $15, $16 million?
Well, the email was just damning. Can this pass off as game used? It's just it was a poorly worded email. If he was innocent,
maybe it was worn briefly in a game.
This guy who's suing him, Eric Inselberg, apparently he is accused of selling fake memorabilia over the years as well. So this guy doesn't sound too clean.
By the way, this case is 4 years old.
Yeah,
this has been going on.
So you guys think Eli Manning's fine? He's going to skate.
Well, everyone likes Eli, and we all want to believe that he's innocent and a good guy because he's been nothing but a good guy since he's been here. Yeah. So we're kind of rooting for him on this one, I think. Right, Joe?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, if we ever get the Israeli national anthem, we will stand up here and we will salute Israel, which now the United States today will recognize as the capital of Israel is Jerusalem.
Oh, Natalie thinks she might have it. We'll be there. I hope it's not a Beach Boys song. That's it. Panima Nefesh Yehudi. Oh, that sounds like a funeral dirge.
I know.
It should be
a little peppier.
It should be a little peppier. Maybe it's being played at 33 speed.
Can't you get the Hava Nagila song?
Hava Nagila.
Hava Nagila. What is it? Hava Nagila. That's a peppy one. That's a peppy one. Okay. When we get back, Sarah Sanders says dealing with the White House press corps is nothing. She's dealt with whining brats for years. So take that, CNN. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 will go a long way to paying for that upcoming summer trip. Your chance at $1,000 coming up at 7:05 on 710 WOR. Now let's check in on the traffic with Bernie Vider.
Welcome back, everyone. At 6:24, it will warm up later today. Hopefully, we'll see a little bit of sunshine after an icky Mother's Day. Now, we're just talking, today's the big day in Jerusalem. Yep. The U.S. opens the embassy there, moving it from Tel Aviv. I guess it's going to take several years
to move
the entire, they've got several hundred people who populate this.
They got to build an embassy in Jerusalem, too.
And so they're going to open up a temporary. But we were talking about the Israeli national anthem before, and Michael Riedel says this should be the Israeli national anthem. I think you're right.
Happy Peppy.
Right, happy Peppy. Exciting.
I was at a Jewish wedding last weekend. It was so much fun when they break out into that and they put people on the chairs and throw them up in the air.
Hava Nagila,
we hold hands.
And the name of the dance is?
Hora.
Very good.
Oh,
very
my good. Gosh, I'm getting
so
honorary Jew.
Do you like Hava Nagila or this? That's somber.
Sounds like something from The Godfather.
Yeah. You know what? The name of the, it's Hatikva, which by the name means the hope.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what it means.
There's a very good Herman Woke novel called The Hope about the founding of Israel. Well, but I like the theme from Exodus.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how do you like this? Is this the Israeli Music Hour? What the hell are we doing
Remember
here?
Robert Redford, that noted Jew, was in Exodus.
It's a news talk show. You're playing Israeli music?
The Israeli medley.
Why do we have klezmer music up here?
Oh, I love klezmer music. Natalie, can you get some klezmer music for us?
Natalie is so annoyed with us this morning.
She is really ticked off.
She's beyond annoyed. She said, well, if you told me you wanted this music,
all this Israeli music.
We're all of a sudden asking it for her after
you're
the show starts.
You're telling me I wanted it a different tempo, a different beat. Really?
I could use a little klezmer music this morning.
Yeah, we need some klezmer music, Natalie.
Get some klezmer music for us.
What are you doing in there?
That's right.
Hey, so what? The Sarah Sanders story is pretty funny. She took shots at Jim Acosta of CNN.
Yes, Sarah Sanders Huckabee, the brilliant White House.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Whatever her name is. Cousin Annie Huckabee, as Michelle Wolf called her, says dealing with her small children has helped her deal with CNN's whining brat, Jim Acosta. She says that both of her kids, she's got three children, 6 years and under. She says they whine pretty regularly. They both like to ask the same questions over and over again. And sometimes their tone needs to be adjusted a little bit. So I think that having kids has prepared me for the job that I have right now. And somebody asked her, what's more difficult, dealing with your children on an onerous day or dealing with Jim Acosta? And she says, I think having kids is great preparation for anything.
Well, I think she was kind of kidding there.
Yeah,
just so you know. It wasn't. She said, then she went on in all seriousness, I think having kids is great preparation for everything.
But you know, I can't really, I get tired of Jim Acosta. Some of those White House press corps people, they know they're on camera and they want their moment to shine. So they put on their serious journalism man face and they ask those tough questions and they don't let up, Len, even though you know it's an act.
The nerve of that White House press corps. They actually want honesty and truth out of the White House. Yeah, what a bunch of knuckleheads.
Come on, they just want more FaceTime on their networks.
Hey, how about our Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, basically saying to Kim Jong-un, we'll keep him in power. If he gets rid of his nukes, we'll protect him and assure that he stays in power.
We will have to provide security assurances to be sure. This has been the trade-off that has been pending for 25 years. No president has ever put America in a position where the North Korean leadership thought that this was truly possible, that the Americans would actually do this, would lead to the place where America was no longer held at risk by the North Korean regime.
So basically, that's the trade-off. You get rid of the nukes, we'll get rid of, we won't attack you. And
that was the obvious play. That's the obvious deal. You denuclearize, and we will not take down your regime, and you can go on your merry way. That's a clear deal.
What if he demands, what if Rocketman demands that we get rid of all of our troops from South Korea?
I don't think he's going to go that far. I doubt that. And you know if he does? Waterboard him.
Hey, how about Dick Cheney, huh?
Yes, Dick Cheney was on Fox News' Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo, and he's still in favor of waterboarding. He said it worked. He said Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was waterboarded several times, and they got a lot of information out of them. He says, if it were my call, I would not discontinue these programs. I'd have them active and ready to go, and I'd go back and study them and learn. Now, I think right after 9/11, we had to be safe and know what's going on with torture, but I'm not so sure about having it now.
Well, here's what the former vice president had to say to Maria Bartiromo.
If it were my call, I would not discontinue those programs. I'd have them active and ready to go, and I'd go back and study them and learn. The agency's in a difficult position. The Congress has acted. They have changed the law, and the agency has to and will operate by that statute. But, you know, there are a lot of Monday morning quarterbacks.
No, and I agree with you. I think after 9/11, do what you have to do. I'm not sure we got any actionable intelligence.
Well, he says whatever.
Yeah, well, he can say whatever he wants. He also has a bad shot when it comes to hunting with his friends, duck hunting. So,
do you think Dick Cheney gets up every morning, goes into that pod, and has a Darth Vader mask screwed on?
Yeah, pretty much.
He really is like Darth Vader, I think.
All right, 6:30. Joe Bartlett said he's stepped up his game today. It's a Monday, so it's time for the news. Good morning, Joe. How you doing, pal?
I really resent the fact that you thought I phoned it in on Friday.
No, that was a listener. That was a listener email.
That's not true.
You're using it as ammunition.
I mean, every day I give 100%.
Well, okay.
Not last Friday, but I usually
every day except last Friday.
You too.
Oy. Let's see how you do this morning, Joe. Go ahead.
Go. We'll be the judge.
All right.
Here we are.
Giants quarterback Eli Manning accused of passing off equipment as game used. Jury selection begins in a fraud trial today. Attorney Brian Brook represents three sports collectors who are suing Eli.
We've got nothing against the Giants. We're not trying to take them down again. My clients are huge Giants fans. These guys live and breathe this stuff. We're just looking to make sure that at the end of the day, that just results prevail.
Well, Manning denies any wrongdoing, says his track record speaks for itself.
Michael, he delivered that pretty well, right?
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
That was good.
That wasn't bad. Okay. Right. You're awake and ready to go on Monday
morning.
What's
the next story?
Glad you approve. Upper West Side nanny convicted of killing two kids that she cared for is facing sentencing today. Yasmin Ortega faces the possibility of life in prison. Defense attorneys argue she was mentally ill. Police believe the murders of two neighbors in Brooklyn are related. 54-year-old Basil Gray was shot execution style, found dead at the Bushwick houses yesterday. This after his neighbor, 62-year-old Anna DeVale, was found dead Friday. Her hands were bound and she was shot multiple times in the head. Police believe that this was an execution killing of the woman. And sadly, this neighbor may have seen the guy who did it, so he ended up getting killed as well.
Ooh.
The U.S. opening an embassy in Jerusalem today, officially recognizing that as the capital of Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, thankful for President Trump's action.
We are deeply grateful, and our people will be eternally grateful for his bold decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital and to move the embassy there.
Palestinians are protesting the move. They argue the fate of Jerusalem should be decided as part of a negotiated peace settlement. And how about this? Maybe you even know it. President Trump and Sean Hannity talk every night.
I saw that.
Before bed.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. New York Magazine reports Hannity calls the president about 10 o'clock most weeknights.
And the president says, don't bother me, I'm with Melania?
I don't think he says that very often.
If ever. He does not.
One of the few people cleared by the White House switchboard to be connected directly to the president.
Oh, wow.
Sean Hannity calling? Yes, sir. One source says generally the feeling is that Sean is the leader of the outside kitchen cabinet.
Oh, the kitchen
cabinet. Oh, we know that.
Kitchen cabinet.
Well, yeah, we know that.
The two have been close even before Trump was in the White House, of course, and they also share another thing. Michael Cohen is an attorney.
All right. Nice, Joey B. That was good. That was really well.
The only thing missing was some klezmer music for the Israeli part, Natalie.
No, that was good.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to have our Mets report. We got DeGrom. We got Conforto. How did Matt Harvey do for Cincinnati, you're probably wondering, Michael. I will answer that question. Oh, do you want a grand in your hand? That's coming up at 7:05 here on 710 WOR. Right now, what we've got on hand, Bernie Vider with traffic.
Bill in the morning on 710 WOR.
Good Monday morning, everybody. Time for a little Mets update, Len. Here we go.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets.
Well, interesting yesterday.
Actually, it could be called Beat the Mets.
No. Be kind.
Well, Philadelphia beat the Mets.
They did.
Jacob DeGrom back from the disabled list on Sunday, but he wasn't there long enough. The Phillies chased him after just one 45-pitch inning, and then they went on to beat the Mets 4-2.
Well, but DeGrom gave up no runs. It was a wild inning. I was listening to it with Howie and Josh, and you couldn't believe it. They kept fouling off pitches. And now first they had a rain delay, and there were bases loaded, and here's what happened at the end of the inning.
3-2 to Franco, runner set to go from all three bases. Here's the pitch. Swung at and missed strike three. Got him with a slider. Jacob DeGrom pulls off one of the great Houdini acts in Mets history. Somehow, he throws 43 pitches in the first inning, walks three. The bases were loaded with nobody out, and the Phillies don't score. You may never see an inning like that again.
And then after the game, they did an official recount, and yes, it was 45 pitches.
Wow.
So anyway,
45 pitches.
So then when DeGrom came to bat in the second inning, he was pinch hit for it.
You know, just a little rusty, I think. He wasn't getting the ball where he wanted to. He was yanking a few pitches. He wasn't his normal fastball command. He felt great. He felt fine. Dave and I talked about we didn't feel good sending him back out. We can't do that to anybody. You know, that's a lot of pitches for one inning.
Yeah, I would say so. You can't send the guy out who's just pitched 45 times again. That's it for the game.
Well, these days, if a pitcher gets up around 90, 95, you think about taking out of the game, and he had 45 in the first inning.
40-somethings, you're probably not going to go back out. I mean, first of all, if it takes you 40 pitches, you're probably not going to be that effective that day. I don't think I've ever seen anybody throw 40-something pitches and not give up a run. So that's kind of a, enigma. But, if you throw 40-something, I think Trevor Bauer, I've seen throw 42 and go back out, but that's pretty tough. That's a lot to ask, especially what he was coming off of.
Now, the Mets did take the lead in the game, as you very well know, Michael Riedel.
Indeed.
Here's the 0-2. Breaking ball hit deep to left field. Back goes Hoskins at the track, at the wall, gone, a home run! Yoenis Cespedes jumps on a curveball, hits it over the left field wall, well to the right of the 334 mark.
All right, so that game a 1-0 lead. They wound up losing the game.
Yeah, what happened?
4-2. Well, it's easy to second guess, but they gave up a big three-run homer, and, Met fans want to nitpick and say that Mickey Callaway should have gone to the lefty in the bullpen, which is Jerry Blevins. He did not. He got smoked, the three-run homer, and end the ball game from our friend Paul Sewald. As Joe Bartlett has pointed out, ever since Paul Sewald was a guest with you and me,
yeah,
hasn't done great. So I think it's the Berman and Riedel curse. No wonder Jay Harwitz doesn't want to put Mets guests on the show.
That's right.
It's the curse.
Hey, coming up at 7:30, I'm going to be giving away a pair of tickets to the Mets taking on the Yankees on June 9th at Citi Field, and we'll have our turning point at 8:30.
We will. You know what? I thought the Mets had a turning point to their season Friday night. They were trailing 1-0.
Yep.
Top of the ninth inning. Michael Conforto's up with a man on, and Conforto's really been slumping.
1-2. Here's the pitch. Swing and a high fly ball. Deep to right. Hey, the Mets take the lead. Michael Conforto with a long two-run homer off the signage in front of the second deck.
How about that? And the Mets went on to win the game. But, you know, Howie injecting a rare hey-hey into the call.
Hey! Yeah, hey!
Right in the middle of the call.
He hasn't been able to inject a hey-hey for a while there.
Hey-hey!
Yeah, there you go, right in the home run. Okay, so the question is,
how is Matt Harvey doing in his new team?
So you told me you didn't look it up. You didn't look it up, right?
I did not.
So he had his debut Friday night in Los Angeles for the Cincinnati Reds.
Right.
How do you think he did?
I bet he did pretty well.
Puig back in. Harvey turns it loose. Swing and a miss, and he struck him out. One down.
How about that?
Well, there you
are. Swing and a miss, and there he goes.
Why'd they let Harvey go?
Matt Harvey had four very solid innings. The encouraging thing for him and the Reds is that his fastball got up to and touched close to 96 miles an hour.
Anytime you have success, especially against a good team like the Dodgers, it's a good first start. Obviously, it's only four innings. There's a lot of work and a lot of season left. But I think to go out there and be successful and get outs and help the team win is very important.
By the way, even if he goes on to have a terrific season, you can't second guess what the Mets did. They had to cut ties.
They had to get rid of
the way things were going. They had to cut ties. By the way, do you happen to know the biggest sports story of the weekend?
I do not.
Natalie's son Sam.
Oh yes,
scored two goals in soccer.
Mira el centro, clara, gol. Goal! Goal!
Yeah, that was exactly what it sounded like.
That was the actual.
Where were you, Mexico City?
No, it was on Univision. The game was carried on Univision, and Sam went upper. He went upper tier. Scored two goals. He went upstairs with both goals.
Upper 90s.
Wow.
Yes.
Why do you call it upper 90s?
Upper 90 is when it's in the either top right or left corner where the two crossbars meet, so it's in the 90-degree angle. So it's just hard for the goalie to reach over there.
Now, does Sam practice that shot all day long?
Sam practices about 6 days a week for soccer, so yeah, he's always practicing.
Wow.
Now, you were complaining that you had to spend your Mother's Day in the rain on
cold.
A soccer field.
It was rainy.
But did this make things good?
Hey. When you see your kid happy, you're happy, you know?
And he got two of them.
Yeah, he was a little upset he didn't get the hat trick, but what can
really?
You do?
Really? Scores two great goals and he's ticked off.
He missed a free kick, so.
Oh.
Do they still head the ball or are they trying to get rid of it?
No,
that's not good for you, right, heading the ball?
Yeah, right now, usually before age 13, you're not allowed to head balls in games. So at this point, he's allowed.
Right.
But they have made rules where younger kids are not allowed to do it.
I hated it. I played soccer. Well, I played the bench, frankly. But every now and then when they put me on the field, I would try to head the ball. I headed it once, and I had double vision for 30
minutes. Well, you're a
wuss. Oh, my gosh. That means you probably had a concussion.
Well, that explains a lot, Natalie.
That explains why he covers why he covers Broadway and not sports.
This is true. Okay. All right. Coming up next, Hawaii's one giant lava lamp as the eruptions continue. I hope Steve McGarrett's okay. You know who Steve McGarrett is?
Was he on Hawaii Five-0?
Yes, Jack Lord. Book him Dano. Okay. Book him Leno. We'll talk with ABC correspondent Marcy Gonzalez and Paua when we get back. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 will go a long way to the mortgage payment this month. That's coming at 7:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's check in on traffic with Bernie Vider.
On 710 WOR.
And good morning, everyone, at 1:54 in the morning on the Big Island. of Hawaii. Yes. Oh, people, what? I got up early. What?
Well, I'm checking the clock here.
It's 6:54 here in the real world.
Right.
No, but this is serious what's going on the Big Island. They have now two more towns being evacuated, a new crack in the ground, more bubbling lava. If you go to our website, we have lava taking over cars. I mean, this is not going away. The story's been evolving.
It looks
and
like
it continues to get worse. Go to our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. The lava. It's like the blob. Lava takes
Steve
the cars.
McQueen and the blob. That's exactly what it looks like. And it won't stop. It's been going on now for over a week. No signs of letting up.
Well, let's see what's doing on the Big Island. How do you pronounce this town? Is it Pahoa?
Pahoa.
Aloha to Marcy Gonzalez, ABC News on Pahoa. Aloha at Pahoa. Okay, good. How you doing? What's going on there?
Hey, Len. Yeah, so the 18th fissure has now opened. You know, we've been watching these, you know, one or two a day, and then we have a phase of quiet, but now three opened up this weekend, 18 in total, and these are these giant cracks in the ground that have been spewing lava. This one opens up in an open field, but it's pretty close to a few homes, so they had to order even more evacuations. So now about, you know, about 1,800 people evacuated initially. Now, I don't know, maybe it's up to 1,900, but the National Guard says that they're telling another 2,000 people to be on standby, to maybe voluntarily evacuate, but think those could become mandatory evacuations at some point because they think even more of these fissures could still erupt.
Hey, Marcy, you know when they have forest fires out in California, we know how they battle them with planes, dousing the flames and whatnot. How do you battle these fissures and lava flows?
Yeah, Michael, there's really not much you can do in that situation. I mean, the firefighters are in these neighborhoods and trying to keep an eye on things, trying to douse any flames they can. But as far as stopping the lava, you can't. And so that's why these evacuation orders are so important. They're really urging people to get out of these areas. And because it's not just the threat to homes, it's also the threat to the roadways. You know, there are giant cracks in a lot of the roads in this area. And the concern is that a fissure could open up on or near one of the major highways here that would be the only way out for some of these people. And so they're concerned that if people don't evacuate, they could be stranded, and then the National Guard would have to go in and get them out. And, you know, that just creates a dangerous situation all around. So they're really urging people in these communities to go ahead and evacuate now while they have the chance.
Hey, Marcy, I saw something about giant boulders shooting up into the sky. Have you seen any of those?
No. So this is what they're expecting to happen at the summit of the volcano. So probably about 25 miles or so from where these fissures have been erupting. The summit of the volcano is within Volcanoes National Park, and geologists say that any day now there could be what they call a steam explosion, and that would send giant boulders rocketing out of one of the craters of this volcano into the sky. They're saying there could be an ash plume that goes 20,000 feet in the air. It sounds really terrifying and really dangerous, and it only would be, they say, if you are in the national park. That's where those boulders would land, they say. The national park is closed because of that danger. They say the only impact from that steam explosion they expect to happen would be that ash could rain down for tens of miles away. So we could see a dusting of ash in other parts of the island, but we're not going to see those giant boulders landing in residential areas.
We're on the air with Marcy Gonzalez, ABC News correspondent on the Big Island of Hawaii, where Kilauea continues to cause problems. Now, your normal base of operations, Marcy, is L.A.?
Yes, that's right.
So you're on, like, on extended vacation now in Hawaii for weeks?
Vacation?
Does this sound like a vacation to you?
She's in Pompeii, for God's sake.
Not quite.
Pahoa.
I mean, listen, there are worse places to be on assignment, for sure, but this does not feel like a vacation.
Well, just before you run, I understand that the latest eruptions are less than a mile from a power plant. Are they worried about that being affected?
Yeah, it's a geothermal plant, and they had about 60,000 gallons of pentanes with a flammable chemical. They've already removed all of that because that was a bit of a concern because some of these fissures are opening up, you know, within a mile of that plant. Some of the residents say they're concerned because they don't know what's in the wells and if there's any chemicals left there. But it's a situation they're monitoring, but officials say there's no danger, that they've already, you know, taken all of the precautions that are needed.
All right, Marcy, thanks so much. Marcy Gonzalez, ABC News on the Big Island. Enjoy the rest of your vacation, Marcy.
Hit the beach. Hit the beach, Marcy.
Michael, thanks so much. Oh, yeah. I'll be lounging.
Get your surfboard out.
Well, some assignments are better than others. I remember, the year we covered the Yankees and Florida in the World Series, it was like crummy weather up here in October, and we're down there in Florida for the middle three games, and we're writing our reports by the pool. So some assignments.
I went to an international.
Some assignments are better than
I went to an international theater festival in Sardinia once in June. That was pretty nice.
Like that's oh, Sardinia's beautiful.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Gorgeous.
Yeah, what's that hotel? Oh, the one with the great brunch. I'm drawing a blank, but I'll get it back. There's that great hotel there.
I don't think I stayed in that one. I'm not on your level then.
Well, okay. Well, someday you might get there. Hey, coming up, we're going to go live to Jerusalem. A huge day there with the controversial opening of the U.S. Embassy. And stick around for a chance maybe to pay off some bills. $1,000 could be yours coming up after the news at 7 o'clock. Here's Joe Bartlett at 7.
$1,000. Now, text the keyword LOCK to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's LOCK to 200-200.
710 WOR.
Live from Tribeca.
This is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Happy Monday. Hope all the moms had a great Mother's Day despite that crappy weather. It's going to be a little better today, a little warmer later this afternoon. But that was really just a little depressing yesterday. But hope we had a great gathering at our house, so it really didn't put the damper on anything.
And you did all the cooking, Len? Is that for your wife? You took care of and the washing up and everything?
I took care of everything. I hired a guy to barbecue.
So you got the checkbook out, and that takes care of it.
That does it. By the way, we were trying to think of that great hotel in Sardinia. And it turns out you were there for that world-famous lunch.
I did go to the lunch when I was there. It is the hotel, I believe.
Calle de Volpe.
Calle de Volpe.
Yeah,
and it's
great.
By the way, it was the setting of the 1977 James Bond movie, The Spy Who Loved Me.
Yeah, it's owned by one of the, I mean, the Aga Khan or somebody, and you always know when he's there because they put the flag by his window or something. So I don't know.
But Bond was driving around in that white Lotus Esprit that turns into a submarine. Remember that scene in The Spy Who Loved Me?
I just remember this unbelievable brunch and then all the topless women around the swimming pool.
But
I sort of remember. That.
I remember the topless women around the swimming pool, too.
Anyway, so
if you happen to be there, that's a great place for lunch, the Hotel Calle de Volpe.
Yeah, it's really, and I didn't realize that everything, you know, they have, you know, it's a huge buffet.
Enormous.
But everything you could ask for, so we didn't realize till we left that you could have asked for lobsters, they would have brought out anything you wanted, they would have brought out, even if it's not sitting there, so.
I remember they had a big seafood section, it was enormous. So lobsters, great place.
Oh, this is good to know. The president just tweeted that the U.S. Embassy opening in Jerusalem will be covered on Fox News and Fox Business, because I'm sure no one else is going to cover it. So it's good to know that we're getting TV tips from our president.
Of course. Well, he doesn't watch anything else. You know he's got Fox on all the stations.
I was reading something. Maybe you read it, too. I was reading this morning early one of these stories Natalie had sent out, and was talking about the fact that Trump used to get up and watch Morning Joe for a little bit, then he'd flip over to CNN for a little bit, and then he'd go to Fox. And he said, you know, Morning Joe would really aggravate him.
Yes.
So the staff, it was up to the staff, and I guess at that time was Reince Priebus, it was up to them to convince him just watch Fox News, but they had to make it seem like it was his decision. So they would tell him things like, well, you know, Fox News has the best ratings. Well, you know, Fox News are the people that really are your base. And so he came to the conclusion on his own after all of this feeding. Oh, I'm only going to watch Fox News from now on.
Fox News apparently is his kitchen cabinet led by Sean Hannity, who talks to him on the phone at 10 o'clock every night
Isn't
before
that nice?
Bedtime.
Well, they did say in that article. Who wrote that article? It was a really interesting long article.
It was
article.
A New York magazine.
Another New York magazine?
Yes.
They did say in the article that the president, first lady do sleep in different quarters. So that's just,
we have
they did
that
say in the article.
We have that confirmed now?
Well,
do
but
we?
I don't know if most presidents in I don't know. I mean,
it's not a big deal.
I mean, in half the movies,
there in the White House.
No, but half the movies you see, like Dave. Remember that great movie, Dave?
Yes, I love Dave.
Well, the first lady and the president were in different rooms. So if that's the way it is, Dave.
So if Trump is talking to Hannity before he goes to bed, do you think Melania is talking to Rachel Maddow before she goes to bed?
Our big three stories this morning: U.S. Embassy opening today in Jerusalem. Momentarily, we're going to go live to Jerusalem. Of course, it's a controversial move from Tel Aviv. Also in the big three, another White House controversy. This one over a John McCain joke. Still no apology. And rounding out the big three, the Eli Manning fake memorabilia trial gets underway today. We have your Mets tickets. They're Mets-Yankees tickets. We'll give them away at 7:30. The turning point after yesterday's loss in Philly is at 8:30. And with that, let's go to Jordana Miller, ABC News in Jerusalem. Jordana, when is the big event? Has it begun already?
It has not begun yet. It's just about 2 hours from the starting. I'm actually here already at the site where shortly we will call it the U.S. Embassy of Jerusalem. Everyone getting ready. A lot of excitement here. Israelis and the Trump administration calling this a historic day. The move of the U.S. Embassy, a just one that recognizes the reality, which is that Israel's seat of government is here in Jerusalem. But on the other side, Palestinians very angry. We have reports now of more than 20,000 Palestinians clashing with Israeli forces and protesting at the Gaza border. According to the latest reports from the Palestinian Health Ministry, at least 12 have been killed. Now, Palestinians, of course, reject 12 killed, and it's only 2 o'clock local time. So that does not bode well for the rest of the day. They, of course, are calling this decision to move the embassy and the Jerusalem recognition decision by the president unjust, and they call it biased.
Jordana, even for Israelis who are not supporters of Netanyahu, are they excited about Jerusalem finally being recognized as the capital of Israel by the United States?
That's a great question, Michael. They are. And that's one of the things I think many people outside of Israel don't understand. This is not a right-wing position. Israelis across the political spectrum, the public as well, see this as a long overdue moment for the United States to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Israelis have always seen it as their capital. The Jewish people have connected to Jerusalem for millennia. And, of course, since the modern state of Israel was founded 70 years ago. So for many here, they see this as righting a historical wrong. And they do not believe that this will interfere with negotiations for a long-term solution. And that is something that the president and the State Department repeated before this ceremony today, that the boundaries of Jerusalem remain something that will be negotiated between the parties. That doesn't seem to be registering with the Palestinians. Perhaps they don't believe it.
Ramo Jordana Miller of ABC News, a troubling story of now these 12 deaths occurred today by the where exactly did this happen?
This is happening along the Gaza border and the southern tip of Israel. And according to the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, there are more than 20,000 protesters. And remember, these are not new protests. For the last 6 weeks, Hamas, the terrorist group that runs the Gaza Strip, has been calling for protests each Friday leading up to today, to the embassy move. It has been part of their protest against the president's administration and his decisions on Jerusalem. And the concern now is that, as the afternoon moves on and we get to the embassy ceremony, which begins at 4 p.m., the violence could peak and that death toll could rise.
Hey, Jordana, Iran has been making some mischief up there in Syria on the border of Israel. Any concerns that Iran might do something today?
That's a great question, Len. It's not clear if Iran has anything up their sleeve for today, but certainly they have been making every effort to set up military sites in southern Syria. And we saw that come to a head last week with that first clash between Israel and Iran on Syrian territory when they launched missiles and Israel responded. That is a challenge that Israel is going to continue to face. And we should remember that Iran is one of the sponsors of Hamas, the terrorist group, which is they fund Hamas, one of the group that's actually leading the protests today in the south.
Jordana, before you run, it's a little after 2 o'clock in Jerusalem. You said the ceremony starts at 4. Can you give us an indication of what the ceremony is going to look like and what's going to happen?
Well, we are going to hear a videotaped address from the president since he could not be here today. The Deputy Secretary of State, John J. Sullivan, is also going to take the podium, and he's here instead of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. And we will hear from Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, and the point person who's really been leading the Mideast peace process. Jared doesn't talk in public so often, so I think this will be a moment to remember when he takes to the podium to talk about this decision. And, of course, the Trump administration says that they are planning in the coming months to unveil that peace plan.
All right, Jordana Miller, ABC News Jerusalem. Thanks, Jordana.
Finally, something for...
Thanks, Len.
Thanks, Jordana. Finally, something for Jared to do. He's been sidelined for. You think they'll do the Havanagelli and put him in a chair and throw him up there in front of the
wall? No, behave yourself.
They won't. Ivanka and Jared will be in the chairs going.
I just want to know when they said that Jared Kushner was going to address the crowd. Did we both roll our eyes simultaneously? Was that just me?
You can't you do better than Jared Kushner for recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel? Please.
And a deputy secretary of state. I mean, this is a big, big deal.
It is.
You think at least send Pence over there to do something.
I know.
Or Pompeo.
I'd be a little disappointed if I were Netanyahu and all I got was Jared Kushner. Oh, please.
And the big peace plan that he's putting together supposedly is on the verge of being unveiled.
Well, that's going to be great. Yeah, a little old
You're not a Kushner fan, huh?
Nah, the guy's been sidelined. He was totally ineffective. He had no business being an advisor in the White House.
Now, I had not heard or seen anywhere what she was talking about, the 12 deaths
I had not heard that
along Gaza. Yeah. So this is a serious situation. It's only probably going to get worse the next couple of hours when the ceremony begins.
The protesting will probably swell to a tipping point when it comes to the ceremony time.
Yeah, so Jordana Miller of ABC News said the ceremony begins in a couple of hours, which means it'll happen during our broadcast. So, you know, we'll have a little bit of that for you later on this morning.
It's very, I think it's very moving. Aside, all of our joking aside, I think the capital of Israel is indeed Jerusalem. King David declared it 3,000 years ago. It's about time the United States recognized it. And it's another campaign promise that Donald Trump has kept.
He did. And, you know, several presidents have made that promise.
Including
beforehand.
Obama.
Well, and Bush, you know, be fair. But several others have said that, but they really haven't come through.
So. They didn't have the guts to pull the trigger like our courageous president.
Really? Why are you laughing?
Because your face is like, I can't believe you just said that.
Well,
I'm going to throw up.
Well, most of the campaign promises were to undo anything or do anything different from Obama. So clearly, if Obama didn't move the capital, the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, he was going to do it. But seriously, most of what Trump has done is just anything Obama did, I can do better I could do different.
Interesting that Jordana did tell us that this is not a right-left issue in Israel, that most Israelis, no matter where they are on the political spectrum, are in favor of this decision.
Well, when we come back, should the White House apologize for the John McCain comment that they made, a little joke that flopped? We shall discuss. And plus, you have another chance to win $1,000. That comes up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. And I'm very happy to welcome a new sponsor to the program. We went straight from a long winter into the heat of summer. Well, that'll happen any day now. No time to prepare. Well, thanks for the warning, Mother Nature. Now, the last thing you want to be doing when it's hot out is packing and schlepping your stuff into self-storage. So don't. Let MakeSpace do it for you. MakeSpace is the new way to store your things. Their team of professional movers come to you with free packing supplies. They pick up as little or as much as you want, and they move it into safe and secure storage. You don't even have to remember what you packed, because with the MakeSpace app, you can see pictures of what you stored and request them to be delivered back with the click of a button. They've made storage so simple that MakeSpace does it all. The packing, transporting, and storing everything. Book before June the 30th, and MakeSpace will give you $100 off your first month at MakeSpace.com/Len. Only for the month of June. Get $100 off at MakeSpace.com/Len. That's MakeSpace.com/Len. Let's go to traffic now. Bernie Viter.
Happy Monday, everybody. A little gloomy out there. It's going to be kind of a gloomy week, but in 5 minutes, we'll have something to cheer you up, because I'll be giving away a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Yankees June 9th at Citi Field. Don't call yet, but in 5 minutes, get by the phones, and we will be giving away those tickets. Now, we were talking about the recognition on the part of the United States of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and we've been begging for some klezmer music all morning long, and finally, Natalie's delivered.
So here's the thing. First of all, Hatikva is the national anthem.
Right.
And so we played a little Hatikva.
A little depressing for a happy day.
It's a lower key song.
Minor key, we call
and
that.
It means,
minor
key. Yeah, it means the hope. So that's the deal. So you suggested at first that maybe this should be. Yeah.
I can see Jared up in the chair right now.
It's not Hava Nagilya. It's Hava Nagila.
Hava Nagila. Okay.
Very good.
That's a peppy. I love that song.
A peppy song. But then you said, "Hey, we need some klezmer music."
I love klezmer. Yes.
Yeah. Now we're talking.
It's more your style.
Come on, Len. Hold my hand. Let's go around the table right now.
How about the Kazatsky? Can you do the Kazatsky?
No, but teach me.
You know what the Kazatsky is?
No, what is the Kazatsky?
That's when they get down like real low and they kick out their legs and they're like doing deep knee bends.
That's when somebody pulls a muscle out on the dance floor and they can't get up.
That's the Kazatsky.
That's the one where you put the bottle on your head and you do the dance really low with the bottle on your head and you balance the bottle. See, now this is good music.
Yeah, see, that's
a big day in
Israel. Exactly. They should have klezmer music at this stage.
Absolutely. There you are. So, hey, the White House staff should apologize for some of the disgusting remarks they made about John McCain. That's the position I'm taking, and I'm not alone in that. Lindsey Graham thinks they should as well.
I just wish somebody from the White House would tell the country that was inappropriate, that's not who we are, and the Trump administration. It's a pretty disgusting thing to say. If it was a joke, it was a terrible joke.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, they just follow the lead of, does the president ever apologize for anything?
Seldom.
Ever?
Seldom.
Seldom. Lindsey Graham went at him pretty good on CBS.
He's an American hero, and I think most Americans would like to see the Trump administration do better in situations like this.
Yeah. Well, this all stems from something, a communications aide, Kelly Sadler said, McCain is opposed to Gina Haspel's confirmation as a CIA chief, and this Kelly Sadler said in a meeting, well, his opposition doesn't really matter because he's dying anyway, because as we know, McCain is battling a brain tumor in Arizona now. Graham's not the only person who has called for an apology. Bernie Sanders, no surprise there, wants it as well. I think John Bolton was a little uncomfortable with what Sadler said.
Let's see what the National Security Advisor had to say.
John McCain came to my defense in 2005. When my nomination to be UN ambassador was under criticism, he and I didn't know each other very well at the time. We certainly didn't agree on each and every position that he or I had taken, but he spent countless hours trying to help me out, and much of it was behind the scenes. There was no political upside for John McCain in that effort at all, but he did it because he thought I was being treated unfairly. I'll never forget it. I'll be grateful forever, and I wish John McCain and his family nothing but the best.
All right, so he wasn't addressing the issue specifically, but he was trying to take the politics out of it. He was on CNN, Bolton was, so he said, hey, I'm a big fan of John McCain.
Well, apparently this Sadler woman reached out to Meghan McCain, John McCain's daughter, to
I don't know if she
apologize.
Has or said she...
Tried to.
I think she said she was going to. I don't know if that's actually happened, but the... White House itself, not so fast. I don't know.
Old Huckabee, she's more concerned that the comments leaked from the private media. I don't know. Be a big man, Mr. President. Tell your team to apologize. It was an inappropriate comment to make about an American hero, and that's John McCain.
You know, you can always do one of those half-assed apologies that people do all the time. If I offended anyone, if anyone who may have been offended...
There's no if here. She said, the guy doesn't matter because he's dying anyway. There's no if there. That's offensive.
The thing about the Sarah Huckabee Sanders meeting, she apparently had a meeting with all these people in the communications office, And about leaking. There shouldn't be any leaking. And immediately five people leaked the story. So she was more, that's the thing about this. They're more concerned with the leaks than they are about the apology. And I think their priorities
See, they
are
could
just
put
off.
This behind them right away if they apologize. That would be the end of a story that has now gone on for all weekend long and will continue rolling on the week. This is a bad calculation on the part of the president and his staff. So, all right. Guess what time it is?
It's this time.
Let's go, man!
Now's your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Yankees on June 9th at Citi Field, driven by your Tri-Honda dealers. I want you to be caller number 23. Be caller number 23 at 1-800-321-0710. That's 1-800-321-0710. If you are caller number 23, you are the winner.
And I know why you picked 23. Because it's a Yankees-Mets game.
Yes.
And 23 was the number worn by Don Mattingly, one of the Yankee heroes. So I know that's why
That's exactly why I picked it.
Yeah.
Very good.
I picked up on that.
Purchase tickets at Mets.com/tickets. And now let's go to Joe/Bartlett with the 7:30 news.
Michael, if I've said anything to offend you, I'm sorry. And same to you, Len.
Not accepted.
Just in case.
Half-assed apology.
Does it make you feel better?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I still want to know what he said behind my back.
Okay, we'll tell you later.
Leak later.
jury selection begins today in the memorabilia trial of Giants quarterback Eli Manning. He's accused of trying to pass off equipment as game used Attorney Brian Brook represents three sports collectors who are suing, and they actually want Eli to testify.
So we have his testimony there and a video of him, and we have sent out a notice to try to have him come and testify at the trial and also to bring a few things with him.
Manning says he didn't do anything wrong. Two people found dead in the same Brooklyn apartment building just 2 days apart. 54-year-old Basil Gray found dead of a gunshot wound at the Bushwick houses yesterday. Deputy Police Chief Michael Kemper says this comes after his neighbor, 62-year-old Anna DeVal, was found dead on Friday.
It's a strong possibility that the male discovered today did not die today. There's a strong possibility that he died on the same date and approximate time as the female. His female neighbor.
Yeah, the speculation is Gray may have been killed while he was checking on his neighbor. The new American embassy opens today in Jerusalem, the move sparking deadly protests in the Palestinian territories. President Trump formally recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital last December. The U.S. embassy moved to Jerusalem, prompting the leader of Al-Qaeda now to urge Muslims to carry out jihad against the U.S.
Well, they already reported 12 deaths. We just had Jordana Miller of ABC News. At least 12 are dead from protests in the Gaza area.
So. That's a lot of protests going on there. But on the positive side here, the people of Israel are so thrilled with the president's decision to move the embassy to Jerusalem that they want to name a soccer team after him.
After Trump?
Yes.
Yeah, they did.
Bitar Jerusalem of the Israeli Football Association says he wants to change his name to Bitar Trump Jerusalem.
And their motto is going to be best when they play soccer. Very cool.
He says they are happy to honor the president for his love, and they just want to do this as a gesture of their own.
And you don't have to worry about the size of Trump's hands, because in soccer, you use your feet.
Very good, Michael.
You see, I'm up on sports.
Going down a rat hole here. The U.S. Supreme Court, speaking of sports, could rule as early as today on whether New Jersey can legalize sports betting. Right now, there's a federal ban on sports betting nationwide, with a few exceptions, like Nevada. If it does happen, Major League Baseball and the National Basketball Association are reportedly trying to get an integrity fee attached to every bet.
It's called vigorous.
No. Okay. An integrity fee.
Give me a break.
Oh my God.
We oppose these pro leagues. We oppose all this gambling. Oh, can we get a cut? It's fine.
Oh my God. The greedy bastards.
What a bunch of phonies.
Unbelievable.
It could happen today. I mean, it looks like the courts.
You're in favor of it, aren't you?
Well, yeah. And I think New Jersey has a very good case. I mean, why should other states be able to do it? Yeah. They can't.
Yeah, and you need all the money you can get in New Jersey, because the governor's giving everything away for free. All right, there are more temper tantrums on the tarmac. This one disrupted a Spirit Airlines flight. And tomato juice, Len, is back on the menu at United. But the question is the vodka? We'll tell you about that when we get back. Plus, if you want to buy a little screwdriver on the flight, why not try to win $1,000? That's coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's go to Bernie Viter with the traffic.
WOR.
Hi, everyone. As we approach 7:41 on a Monday morning, glad you're with us this morning. We got a winner, right, Michael?
We do. Tony Kiefner won our Mets takes on the Yankees tickets. So he's from Ronkonkoma. Change at Ronkonkoma. That's what they always say.
Ronkonkoma.
When you're on the LIRR. Change at Ronkonkoma.
Well, congratulations to you. A couple of anniversaries on this May the 14th. You know what? 51 years ago today?
No.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't know this. Mickey Mantle hit his 500th career home run at Yankee Stadium.
Wow, yeah. That's good.
Yeah, there you go.
70th anniversary of the founding of Israel.
That's a big anniversary.
Indeed.
How about 20 years ago today?
Oh, yes.
The final episode of Seinfeld.
You know, I never watched. Years ago. I must confess, I never watched.
You didn't watch Seinfeld?
I never watched Seinfeld.
In reruns, at least?
Yeah, I see it in reruns. I just never really got it, frankly. I don't think it was that
really?
Funny.
But
I never got it? I know I'm out in the
what's
cold on that
Natalie,
one.
What's wrong with him? He never got Seinfeld?
I watched it in reruns.
My 13-year-old gets it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's about nothing.
It's exactly
well, that's
right.
That's why
so
it's
is life.
What do you think this show is about?
Except 4 hours
we're
of it.
We're just doing side. We're not making as much as he did,
four
but
hours
we're doing
of
the
it.
Same thing every morning. What the hell are we doing?
I prefer Curb Your Enthusiasm, frankly.
Really?
It's funnier, yeah.
You don't remember Terry Hatcher?
Seinfeld had the groping episode where Jerry wasn't sure if Terry Hatcher's breasts were real or fake. So
yeah, so Alice Stockton Rossetti talked to a bunch of Seinfeld fans. So that's one of the fans talking about the famous Terry Hatcher episode. We'll have a story with Alice later
this
morning.
The episode I remember, which I thought was funny, was I think Jerry is in first class and his girlfriend there is in coach, and they show her suffering with a lot of slobby people in coach, and he's up there eating a big ice cream sundae and drinking champagne and all that.
I didn't get to see the show because I was working nights at NBC where the show was on, but I was busy watching ball games in my office, so I never really got to see the show. However, I saw in rerun the story about Bubble Boy. Does that ring a bell, Natalie? The Bubble Boy story, which I thought was...
Of course the Bubble Boy!
George Costanza is playing a game of Trivial Pursuit with Bubble Boy, and I guess the answer to the question is the Moors.
The Moors?
The Moors, M-O-O-R-S. I guess it was some ancient
Moors.
The Moors.
The Moors.
But there was apparently a misprint on the card. So Costanza says, no, the answer is the Moops. So he read the, you know, he read the misprint on the, and the Bubble Boy winds up, they bust the bubble, and he's going to, you know, because he's in a high
He's an infectious disease
bubble.
Kind of bubble.
Oh, yeah, like, remember John Travolta, when they rolled him out? Yes, John Travolta was in the made-for-TV movie of the week of the Bubble Boy. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. This was them mocking that, obviously.
Hilarious episode. No, it's the Moops. It's not the Moors. You're wrong. And they get this big fight, and the bubble bursts.
And the kid dies.
One of the things Alice asked people was, can a lot of this actually happen today? Because, hey, the Bubble Boy, you're making fun of somebody with a disability and that. Could this really go on today? So that was one of the things she was asking New Yorkers.
You're not allowed to make fun of people sitting coach, apparently.
We'll have Alice's report later on this morning. So anyway, this passenger craziness on Spirit Airlines, a lady named Safira Allen, apparently missed a flight going from Atlanta to Vegas. So at the Atlanta airport, she just runs down the ramp to another Spirit flight, of course, takes a seat that wasn't ticketed to her. And then she throws a rant on board, and I guess she records it herself.
What is up is I'm sitting on this airline, and she's telling me I got to get off the plane. I'm trying to go to Las Vegas. She took my boarding pass that I paid for. Who's going to get off this plane?
Right here.
After you made me miss my flight, because you closed your gate early, I'm not getting off. You're going to have to call the people, and I'm going to make sure this is recorded because I'm going live.
She refused to get off the plane. She's showing the world on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Apparently, she's claiming they closed the gate too early on her earlier flight.
I'm not getting off this plane. That's the trick. They tell you to get up.
She says she's not getting off, and then she says this Spirit Airlines shouldn't be named after the Holy Spirit, she's claiming.
They act like they named their Spirit Airlines after Jesus. The Spirit of Jesus. No, y'all go quit playing with Jesus. Y'all serve Jesus. Y'all not finna use it.
All right, this lady's nuts.
No,
it's official.
You cannot do this on a plane. There is no tolerance for this behavior. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to be breaking the law. You can't throw these hissy fits and tantrums on the plane. You're never going to win these arguments.
So look what happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, I do apologize. You can leave your belongings on the aircraft, but we are going to have to deplane.
They deplaned the entire plane because of this clown.
They're going to stone that woman.
Well, she was charged with trespassing by Atlanta police, but clearly nuts.
She may have had a, I wonder if she had a screwdriver before.
She had a screw loose.
We
have the whole video up at our website, 710WOR.com/Lennon Michael. The whole thing, it's really kind of crazy if you want to take a look.
She may have had a screwdriver, but for a while there on United, they revised their in-flight drink menu, and they removed one of the most beloved sky beverages of all time, tomato juice from domestic flights
that are
less than 4 hours. They took it off.
How can you make a Bloody Mary without tomato juice?
Exactly. Just straight up absolute, baby. But their customers complained, and people took to Twitter and social media and said that they were going to switch their frequent flyer miles to somewhere else. So the tomato juice has been reinstalled on the menu. Now, apparently, tomato juice is one of the few beverages that actually tastes better in the air because with the pressure in the cabin, a lot of food loses its flavor and gets bland. But the tomato juice with its acidic and earthy taste on the ground tends to taste sweeter and fruitier in the air.
You made that up.
Really? No.
Some food tastes better in the air?
Some food does taste better in the air. Fruitier things taste better in the air.
Okay, fine.
People love musical theater. No, I'm just kidding.
When we return, that's entertainment. We have our entertainment news from Jim Parsons to Ronan Farrow to, well, Kevin can't wait. Or he's going to have to. Or maybe Kevin can wait for a new network to pick up a new show. But anyway, if you want a chance to pay off a few bills, stick around because we're going to give you a chance to win $1,000 coming up at 8:05 here on 710 WOR. So after 9/11. Did you live in Lower Manhattan? Did you work there, go to school there? Did you help with rescue, recovery, cleanup, or construction near Ground Zero? Were you in Lower Manhattan, below Canal Street, between September 11th, 2001, and the summer of 2002? And have you been diagnosed with cancer? If you answered yes to those two questions, you may be eligible for compensation. Call attorney Noah Kushlevsky, the New York lawyer who's established himself as the go-to guy with the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. He's recovered over $1 billion, with a B, for clients affected by the World Trade Center attacks. He's here to help. Just look him up, folks. How many cases over $1 million? Noah's resolved over 400 of them. $400 million cases. If you're a student or live near Ground Zero or work near there below Canal Street after 9/11 and now you have cancer, call him. Call 888-974-3125 or go online to groundzerocancer.com. That's groundzerocancer.com. Or call 888-974-3125. It's time for the latest traffic news. Let's go to Bernie Viter.
Good morning, everybody. Coming up on 8 o'clock. Well, it may have been a kind of a washout day for Mother's Day, but Natalie did have some excitement this past weekend because she and her husband scored the hottest ticket on Broadway, Bruce Springsteen, live on Broadway. And Natalie, is it as good as I have been saying it is?
It's amazing. And I'll tell you from the perspective of someone who isn't the biggest Bruce fan. I love Bruce. You know, I respect him. My husband is the biggest Bruce fan. You know, born and raised New Jersey guy. So I've been surrounded by the music. But I, you know, I wouldn't put myself in the same category. So I thought to myself, am I really going to enjoy this as much as he will?
Mm-hmm.
And I did.
Yeah,
and right. And purely because the storytelling, you know, it didn't matter whose story it was. His story happens to be fascinating. And I learned a lot about him. And his music was obviously familiar, and I know it all. And it's just, the lighting was incredible. Like, there was lots of parts of the show just theatrically.
The lighting is terrific. And
the lighting was terrific.
It's by a wonderful lighting director named Natasha Katz. She did a marvelous job. Now, I was in the same boat as you. I was not a big Springsteen fan. Dionne Warwick is more my speed. But my girlfriend loves Springsteen. So I took her to the opening last fall. And I was entranced by the whole thing.
I mean, too.
He is so compelling as a performer on stage. And you got to remember that this is not, he's not with the E Street Band.
Nope, by himself.
This is not the set he's been doing forever and ever and ever. He's by himself, unadorned, on the stage. He stripped the songs down to just piano accompaniment or a harmonica accompaniment.
His guitar accompaniment, of course.
And the guitar, of course. And then he puts it in the context, the songs in the context of his life from his memoir. And all of a sudden, the songs take on a deeper, richer meaning because you understand what was in his mind when he wrote them.
Right. So I would encourage if you could score a ticket. It was hard. It took me
how much did you pay?
Way too much. Yeah. It was probably like 2 car payments for me.
Oh, wait a second. Riedel didn't help you get the tickets?
It's hard. That's a tough one.
No, it's a tough one. I mean, and I did what everybody, I was a verified fan. I kept going in the lotteries. I did like what everybody does. And it took me months and months and months to finally get them. And like I said, it was more money than I would have ever spent on anything.
Did you skimp on the dinner beforehand?
Oh, we were in such Route 3 traffic that I literally ran down through Times Square, grabbed a pretzel, and kept running until we got to the theater on time.
You're going
to
be eating pretzels for the foreseeable future after the amount of money you spent on those tickets.
Hey, Natalie, but it was great. When he told his story, does he actually go through it on stage telling the story, or is there a video?
No,
it's just him.
He tells the story from his 7-year-old self wanting a guitar and not having the money and his mom having to, you know, rent one to becoming a rock star. But it made him so human because I only saw him as a rock star. Sure.
The part I found most moving was when his mother would get him to go get his father out of the bar when he was just a little kid, because his father after work would always go to the bar. Wow. The mother worried that his father would stay in the bar all night, and she would send little 10-year-old Bruce Springsteen into the bar to sort of tug on his father's jacket to pull him out of the bar before he got too drunk.
And his mom is still alive, and she's been suffering with Alzheimer's for about 7 years.
Terrible.
But then said, music still makes her dance. And I thought that was beautiful.
He's on Broadway till December 31st. He was supposed to play 8 weeks on Broadway. He's going to play almost a year.
Yeah.
He's having a great time doing it, and he's been given a special Tony Award. We do not know yet if he's going to perform on the Tonys.
Oh,
I suspect he will.
I hope so.
He's got to do something.
Hey, so speaking of performing on Broadway, they had to cancel the show. The show does not must go on.
Yeah, Jim Parsons from the Big Bang Theory, he's starring in a revival of a very fine play called The Boys in the Band. But apparently at the Saturday matinee performance, he took a little tumble. He tripped during the encore, and people in the theater posted on social media that he limped off the stage while other cast members took their bow, and they had to cancel the performance Saturday night. Now, the show would normally go on, but if you got Jim Parsons, a star of that ilk, people are going to see Jim Parsons, and it's a terrible thing when you got a bunch of people who expect to see Jim Parsons. They're sitting in the theater, and the announcement is made at this evening's performance. The part of such and such, usually played by Jim Parsons, is played by Len Berman. Everyone goes, boo!
Boo! I blew that one. Oh, I would boo that one. Hey, TV shows, wow, what a death watch. All these TV shows, a bloodbath. Tons of them got canceled, including Kevin Can Wait, was starring, of course, big Mets fan from Queens, Kevin James. His show was canceled, but he put out a great message on social media thanking the fans, thanking the network, saying how blessed he was. But the number of shows canceled, unbelievable, Michael. One got a reprieve, though. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which was axed by Fox, picked up immediately by NBC.
I know what it's like to have a TV show canceled. I was in Smash on NBC, and we lasted two seasons.
Well, that's why it got canceled. People got wise to you.
But Bartlett likes that show.
The best-known show on this list was Designated Survivor. A lot of people like that show on ABC. That got canceled, too.
All right. And Ronan Farrow, he is coming out with a book, Catch and Kill. Ronan Farrow won the Pulitzer Prize, remember, this last month for his expose of Harvey Weinstein in The New Yorker. He's coming out with a book for Little and Brown. He's going to have more sexual misconduct, misdeeds to review, and he's going to get into what these powerful men do to try to stop their accusers from coming forward with stuff.
So there's going to be new accusations coming out in this book?
So they say, some new accusations, but it's really going to get more into that kind of weird dark state. Remember those former Mossad people who were working for Harvey Weinstein trying to threaten and intimidate his accusers? Farrell really broke that story open, so he's going to dig deeper into that in his book. I mean, this kid, he went from having a MSNBC show canceled down and out for the count, and now he is the most powerful journalist in America.
Good for him.
All right, a lot going on down at the White House today. The embassy is moving to Jerusalem. There's an upcoming summit with North Korea. We're going to check in with ABC White House correspondent Karen Travers when we get back. Plus, your chance at $1,000 is coming up after the 8 o'clock news with Joe Bartlett.